Just a few reminiscences about the town and a few of the characters. First of all, some of you may remember the Parish Hall, which is where Morrison's Local was, just along from the Moot Hall. And that was used for concerts, and they had a little box office inside manned by Gwen Foreman, who's still alive, and used to have a little orchestra play for various productions. While on the subject of entertainment, the dear old Embassy Cinema, with the organ in that Vic Hammett used to play. I used to go there as a child on a Saturday morning and watch Zorro doing all his various deeds, which was great. The area up at the top of the town opposite the Ware Pond now and next to the Ware Pond was originally Doe's Garage. For nearly 30 years, used to do the bookings for him, and the most adventurous trips were to Great Yarmouth and Sandringham. That was a long way away in those days and was a big day out. He used to have the old Bedford coaches that they used to take. Very well maintained. Mr. Nunn, who I think was Stephen Nunn's grandfather, was the Bill Wager, round at the back of Peacocks, who did signwriting, was a very good signwriter. And just a few local characters. Albert Fisher, who I think lived in Silver Street, used to have ponies on the causeway on the meadow there and round at Bealey, a bit of a character. There was Tom Keeble from Wintersleep Farm, who used to ride a huge ladies' bicycle round the town. With his pork pie hat on. And another chap I remember in the high street was a man called Archie, and he had an unfortunate habit of his tongue popping in and out continually wherever he was.
You mentioned the chap with the horses that was a great character.
Yes.
How was he a great character?
Well, he was. He got a bit of a... well, maybe a temper on him, you know, if somebody upset him or said the wrong thing to him, you know, he could certainly give you a piece of his mind. But I mean, he'd go out in all weathers seeing to these ponies and horses. They were near to where the bypass bridge is now, up Cemetery Hill, and on the left as you go out of town along the causeway where the industrial estate is now, which was very often flooded down there. Oh, well, there's dear old Osborne's buses, who used to depart from Victoria Road, mostly to Tollesbury, and they were quite famous for doing favours for everybody. If somebody in Mould lovely showman's engine, which with one or two others they would steam up and take down and park inside the prom on Carnival Day, and it was all lit up at night and steamed up. And floats in the Carnival, some of them were extremely good. English Electric Valve Company used to put wonderful floats in. I remember one year they had a sort of a turret with a maiden in a Camelot type outfit up on the top of the turret, and the knight on his horse down below with his sword brandished.
Not a real horse.
A model. but they were pretty good floats. Mm-hmm. And we used to have a big float from Britvic at Chelmsford, and Southend used to send over the Kersal Flyer, which they had for their own carnival, was built specially. It was on a lorry chassis, I think, but it was made out to be like a sort of an American locomotive with the fender on the front and the funnel, and it had a tender behind, a cab and a tender, and they had a smaller one called the Kersal Cub. And what they did was they had all the children lined right down both sides of the Kersal Flyer with fishing nets on canes, and they were all dressed in sort of Western attire with cowboy hats and what have you, and used to collect the money in these fishing nets as it went along. But it was quite a famous thing, and they didn't take it to many carnivals, but it usually came to Maldon. And then the Parkston band used to come over from near Harwich, and they had a set of what they call big heads, and people were all in fancy costumes with these enormous papier-mâché heads on in different characters, and they were quite a feature and a popular attraction. And it was a really big thing in its day.
Was the electric company a local company?
English Electric Valve, mm-hmm. were where Gate Street Mews are now. In Gate Street here. Mm-hmm. And then there was another chap, two other people actually. There was Cyril Adams, who a lot of you would know about, who usually dressed up as a carnival queen of years gone by or something similar, who walked the whole route with buckets and collected huge amounts of money for the charities for Carnival. He was a very well-known character. And he also used to appear in the local pantomime, which they had at the United Reformed Church, with, I remember, Maureen Baker playing principal girl in it, and they were quite fun things to go to.
So are you saying Cyril Adams was dressed up as a woman?
Oh, yes, he was usually in drag. They called him, his name was Pump, Cyril Pump Adams, but a very well-known local character.
So he dressed up as a carnival queen? Well, was he the dame in the pantomime?
Yes, that's right, yes he was,
right.
Yes.
Right.
And then another chap called Harry Baxter from Victoria Road, he would dress up every carnival as a highwayman, and really he was quite scary. I remember as a child, he usually positioned himself somewhere in Mill Road, and he'd brandish his pistol as you approached with his mask on and demand money in his bucket for the carnival. But he used to frighten the living daylights out of me. But there again, another character.
Graham, can you tell us a bit about how you came to be in Maldon? I believe it was your parents who came here first.
Yes, that's right. My parents came here in 1948, and took what was latterly the Tuck Shop in the High Street opposite the Swan Hotel, which was an old-fashioned sweet shop and tobacconist, and previous to them coming it was a cafe called the Cafe Dorothy. And as I say, they came in 1948 with virtually no money. The shop then belonged to Baden Savills, which was a radio and television shop next door where Townrose is now. And they were lent money to get the shop going by Leslie Hall, also known as Bristol Hall, who owned the coach firm in Queen Street. And he lent them the money with no interest. And they got themselves going, and Mum and Dad worked in the shop just on their own, basically, for 27 years. And a week's holiday every year was Clacton. They couldn't afford to stay away for a whole week, so we used to go down on the Saturday evening after the shop was closed, and they would drive back on a Thursday morning in time to open the shop, because competition was pretty fierce and they were frightened of losing trade to other shops if they didn't get back for the weekend business. So they were there for 27 years, and then I was away working for Trust House Forte, and the shop was leased for 10 years, and then I came home and decided to take it on, so I ran it for 17 years myself. And now I'm happily retired, with nothing else to do but sit and talk to you.
Can you say where you were born then, Graham?
Yes, I was actually born over the shop. It was a very small accommodation there. We had a couple of bedrooms upstairs and a little kitchen at the back of the shop with a sink and a gas cooker, which I remember. And the back section of the shop, which is now, was our living room with a fireplace and a back door which led out onto a small garden. And we had a loo at the bottom of the garden, which froze up in the winter with a chain. And, you know, so it was pretty primitive, really. And then after that, we moved up to Spittle Road, and things were much more roomy there. So as far as some of the shops are concerned, starting at the very top of Farnbridge Road, Mr. and Mrs. Bright used to have the little tin hut shop where the sandwich bar is now, and used to sell all sorts of various things. Round the corner, somewhere where the estate agent is now, which I can't think of the name of, at Church and Hawes, was Blythe Stores. And a little further down from that, somewhere opposite Ansell's, was a place called The Hide, which was run by Mr. Jarman, and he did shoe repairs. The window of the shop was just full of odd scraps of leather all thrown in willy-nilly in the window and looked a total mess, but he did a good job with shoes. And then on the corner was Mrs. Rose with her little shop, which I think you had to step down into, I seem to remember. Further down, there was Edwards, where Edwards Walk is now, and that was a sort of haberdashery and, draper's shop, that's it, thank you. And Mr. Edwards used to walk around the town with his bowler hat on, was quite the gent. Further down a little, or next door I think almost, was a shop called The Rendezvous, which was a sweet shop. And then yet another sweet shop, where Marks and Sparks are now, was called Charles. And Glenda Clark worked in there, and I still see Glenda from time to time. Very smart, upmarket sweet shop, sold all the best quality chocolates and sweets there were to be had. And then the other side of the walkway where M&Co is now was Gallant's, the jeweller's, and every night at closing he'd come out with his big wooden shutters, which he'd slot in at the top and then slot in at the bottom and cover the windows completely, and then put this great metal bar across the front to secure it for the night. Vulture's Cafe, a little further down where the card shop is now, used to do teas, cakes and what have you, run by the Consoni brothers, I think, or Bill anyway. And then down where the cancer research shop is was Barter, or Bater's Shoe Shop. It was sort of a more of a cut price shoe shop. On the corner where Iceland is now was Hardy King's, which ran right down the side of the walkway, and they were sort of a draper's, I think, and I'm quite friendly with one of the family still. Next to that was Tommy Turner, who had a men's outfit as a double-fronted shop, and that was quite a nice shop to go into. Woolworths was where WH Smith's is now, and they used to have the big solid wooden counters with the glass plates around the top, to keep the goods in. And I remember on the ceiling were these huge gas lights with the big white globes covered in like chicken wire, and the two pull cords either side with the rings on the end to switch the gas mantles on and off. Moving on from that, further down by about Peppermint somewhere, I think, was Brooks the Fishmongers. And they had a shutter at the front, as I remember, and the slab with all the fish was right onto the pavement itself, virtually. quite a popular shop. And then next to that was Tanmer's. Ted Tanmer lived in Bat Lane and his wife, and he kept budgerigars, had a big aviary, and they sold very nice furniture. I've got some chairs at home that came from Tanmer's, and it was quite a nice shop. Next to that, I think, or next but one, was Cater's. Now, they were characters. They were a brother and sister. The sister ran the shop, and the brother did all the repair work and the nitty-gritty bits and pieces. But she used to have her hair done up in a little bun at the back, and like a long red overall, dark red overall she used to wear in the shop. The sort of one side of the shop was a flat window, and they used to have a pegboard, massive pegboard on a slider, and it took up the whole of the window, and it was covered with LP records. And if anybody wanted an LP, she used to slide the whole section of the wall into the shop to take the LP off the clips to sell to them. The other window on the other side was sort of more of a bay type window, and she used to have every conceivable type of light bulb right along the front edge of the window all the way round, and each light bulb came on alternately until they went the whole length of the window and back again. And it was a really old fashioned shop, but whatever you wanted, they'd got it. Next to that was where Costa Coffee is now, was the Co-op, a furniture shop run by Mr. Bowles, who is the manager, and he used to walk around with a Homburg hat on, rather old-fashioned. But up on the roof, they had a lovely roof garden with a cafeteria, and you could go and sit right up on the roof on the top. So often used to do that. My little sweet shop next door was originally Baden Savills Radio and Television, then it became Rumbelows. And oh, it was Stanwood's in between that. Yeah, Stanwood's, then Rumbelows. And at the back, they used to have a little record shop, which faced out onto our shop garden. And on a Saturday, everybody was in there listening to all their favourite 45s and to see which was the top of the hit parade for that particular week. Then we had on the corner between Chic and Peacocks, well, what is now Chic, in fact, was Tunbridge's. It was a husband and wife effort. It was Vi Tunbridge who had the millinery shop where Chic is now. Very smart clothes, and I wouldn't like to be quoted, but rumour has it that she used to wear these enormous hats in various colours, a bit like the Queen Mother, and you'd see her in the town with this hat on one day and it would be in the shop window the next. But quite a character, a large lady in every respect. And she's very famous for her pork pies, made wonderful pork pies. Now, her husband had Men's Outfitters on the other side of the road, almost opposite, and his name was Arnold. And I've got a bill at home from Arnold Tunbridge for a suit that my father had from there. And their little place where they lived, which was at the back of Arnold's shop, was called the Dugout. Further down, where the hairdressers is now, just before the Gables, was Cyril Bogey Osborne, who had the photographers and used to go in for portraits and all sorts of things. Then jumping down, well, plenty of shops that many of you will probably remember, Kathleen's Kitchen and Roma's Restaurant. Right down in Mill Road, almost to the Prom Gates, was Mansfield's and Tickner's, two little shops, tiny little shops next to each other, which were quite popular.
And what did they sell?
I can't really remember. I think groceries maybe and sweets or whatever. There was lots of sweet shops in the town then. Blythe's used to sell sweets. Mrs. Rose sold sweets. The Rendezvous, Charles, our shop. There was Neville and Yule's, which was opposite Wants Road, and Mansfield and Tickner's, I think. So no shortage of sweet treats. Right, if we come up the high street on the other side, we have, yes, there is Cook's, the Cook Meat Shop, which is next door to the Methodist Church, and they had lovely pies and quiches and all sorts of things like that, which is lacking nowadays. You don't find many towns with Cook Meat Shops. Next but one to that, I think, was a shop called Tarling's, who sold hardware and paints and decorating stuff. Neville and Yule's was the other sweet shop, which was right opposite the top of Wants Road, run by two families, obviously Neville and Yule. Then if we come up as far as where the toy shop is now, next to the Krusty Loaf, that was Leon Moore, the shoe shop, which was a very smart shop. And then that changed over to another shoe shop, and now the toy shop. Next door to that was Wallace the Chemist's, where the Krusty Loaf is. Coming up a bit further, just opposite Peacock's, was Last's, which was a sports shop. And I remember always buying my fireworks there. I used to go over in October, November, and as pocket money permitted, I used to buy a few fireworks at a time from Mr. Last, a nice old boy. And that was a shop selling sort of all fishing gear and shooting stuff and all sorts. Then we used to have the Co-op Greengrocers, where Wenlock's is now. Mr. Cox was the manager there. And next to that was the Conservative offices. And then Dennis Keane's, the opticians, where Boots Opticians is now. Tucked up at the back, where Prezzo is now, the yard, that there was an archway which led up to the back, and up at the back there was Wally Scrivener, who was a bookmaker, and Mrs. Philpot assisted him in various ways, and he had a wig, unfortunately, which was quite noticeable, but quirky little place, like a little wooden hut really, up at the back there. And then at the front there was Matthews, the corn and seed merchants, and all that sort of stuff. That was Mr. Jarvis from Burnham used to run that. And they were quite a big firm in Essex, I think, George and something Matthews, quite a well-known firm. And then there was Trenfield's, the greengrocers. Used to have a lovely display of fruit which ran down to the pavement on a slope. The gas showroom was next to that. Mr. Moon was the manager there. That was a double-fronted place. And then a little shop called... little dress shop called Modes. And then, of course, there was Hicks. Deviating slightly down Market Hill, where Lee Frostick is now, the shoe repairer, used to be Ratcliffe's, which was a gunsmith's. And used to have the metal bar. I think they might still be there. There's narrow metal bars run right across the window. It's obviously for security purposes. Coming back up the high street, somewhere where Santander is now, I think, was Knightbridge's, which was a very good tobacconist shop. Alfred Knightbridge is the son of Mr. Knightbridge, who ran it. But they had a very good reputation as a tobacconist. And I remember a chap who used to work there had big, thick pebble glasses on, and you'd often see him running down Market Hill in the road on the left-hand side going down. Whether he lived in Heybridge and had to get home for lunch in a hurry, I don't know, but there we are. And then I think there was Martin's Bank, or there was a bank there somewhere. It could have been Martin's Bank, but I'm not certain about that. A little bit further up, we had Vic Phillips shoe shop, and Bill Deven ran Glenders the Florists, two little tiny shops that butted onto each other, where the cash converters or whatever it is now. And then very nice hairdressers at right angles to the church, where the travel shop is now, called Dibbons. They were very good hairdressers. I used to go there and have my hair cut. Just along a little further, where Luna is now, was Reg Wells, who had a sort of an antique come bric-a-brac type of shop. And just up further, past the fish and chip shop, was Powell's, who was like corn chandlers, and they sold all that sort of stuff. And then, of course, Ants was the butchers and what have you. So I think I've given you a pretty good guided tour. And
what sort of decade are we talking about? Where are the...
Well, this would have been probably in the sort of 50s, 60s.
Right.
That sort of era, really, while I was still at school, you know.
Right. And you've mentioned Ansell's, which I know is still there and one thinks of as a family firm. There are other family firms that I don't think you've mentioned, like Wenlock.
Well, yes, I used to go to school with Jonathan and Christopher Wenlock,
right.
And spent very happy days with them as a child. They had a bungalow down at Osey Road, and used to invite me down there, and we had some happy times there. So I knew the Wenlock family very well.
And there was the other butchers as well, not far from Wenlock's. Just trying to think of the name of that myself.
Oh, Buntings.
Buntings.
Yes, that's obviously been there for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there was Collins, which was a lovely shop. A lot of people miss Collins, the grocers now, which is right up at the top end of the high street. I can't think of the name of the... It's next door to Wheeler's, next door but one to the fish and chip shop.
Right.
Is it the fig? No, it's not.
It's called the fig tree.
Yes,
now,
yeah, the fig tree, that's right. Well, Olive Colt used to work in the cash desk there, and Stan Sparks worked in there. And originally they had the overhead pulley system where they would put the money in a drum and screw it up and put it onto the overhead cable, and it would go across to Olive Colt at the cash desk, who would take the money out, put the change in, send it zooming back across. But they used to have their own home-cooked bacons and gammons and ground their own coffee and teas, and it was a really lovely shop. I think it's much missed, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Hicks, China and Glass, and Reeves, of course, hardware shop.
Yes.
A lot of family shops then. Right. But alas, no, not many family shops now, I'm afraid.
Well, I was going to ask you, with that fantastic background, if you had to compare then with now, what sort of comments would you like to make?
Good old days are the best. nowadays, it's not. Some of the shops, I'm afraid, I look in, I think there's nothing in there that I want. unfortunately, we've just lost a greengrocers and a fishmongers. And it's sad, really, but the multiples, make it very difficult for the small shop.
Yeah. Some people say that it was better maintained now. It is better maintained now than it used to be. They say the high street looked a bit run down.
Well, it did at one time, yes. I mean, they have...
Was that about this time or earlier?
I would never say it was really run down,
mm-hmm.
but... It's certainly tidier now than what it used to be.
So perhaps tidier but less interesting.
Well, yes. I mean, I've got a plan at home that the council or someone came up with at one time that they were going to turn the high street into a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit with humps every so often. And that's why there's wide sections in the high street of pavement now. Outside my little shop, it's very wide, and up by Greg's, it's very wide, because they were going to make it a uniform width of High Street for the whole length, put the humps in, and make a 20-mile-an-hour limit. And I've got all the leaflet at home explaining everything that they were going to do, and none of it ever happened. So that explains why there's the, you know, oddments of wide and narrow pavement.
Oh, that's interesting.
Then, of course, there was the Blue Deer or Blue Boar Trust House Forte.
What was that like then?
Oh, well, it was very good then. You know, it was a very good hotel. It was one of their nice hotels. And then the King's Head across the road was run by Tommy Harris, whose widow is still alive. And he had a great big moustache and, really looked the part. I think they were the sort of two main accommodation providers. The Swan Hotel's got a bit of accommodation. Yes.
Did trade depend upon day trippers and things, or was it a residential community?
Well, it was mostly residential, but you always got big crowds come down to the prom in the summer. It's a very popular destination for Sunday school outings and coach trips. You know, the children loved it. Mm-hmm. And especially when the swimming lake was there. As I say, I learnt to swim in it. I mean, they had diving boards, they had platforms, changing rooms, all sorts. It was absolutely great. And I just wish it would come back again, because an ornamental lake is not really quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was nice.
Right. So when you look back on your childhood in Maldon, can you describe...
Misspent youth. I have to confess to an old cigarette behind the bike shed.
Where was the bike shed?
Ah, I'm not telling you. But I was happy. I went to school at All Saints in London Road Primary School, and Mr. Jelly was the headmaster, and the teachers were Mrs. Anderson, Mrs. Jocelyn, and Miss Metcalf. And then from there I went to Colchester to school after that, and then further education was in Colchester as well, so I got to know the road between Maldon and Colchester pretty well, really.
Why did you go to Colchester? Wasn't there not a school near?
Well, I went to a private school at Lexton.
Ah, right. Okay.
And my parents paid for me to go there, which was very nice.
Right.
And then I went to Catering College in Colchester after that, so I was sort of commuting on the bus.
Right.
Every day. So there's several of us used to go over there. There was the Holding Boys that used to have the garage in Heybridge, and the Wenlocks, and John Ashby from Hatfield Peveril and his brother Julian. And there was quite a gang of it. James Mann, he didn't used to come to the same school as us. He went to the high school, but he was on the bus with us.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all best of friends, and, it was good. But a lot of local characters, not many local characters now. You know, you look around, everybody looks samey, if you know what I mean. Whereas before, you've got one or two sort of quirky local characters sort of come into the shop and have a good laugh. But now I've seen a lot of changes in Maldon, really, over the years.
What sort of changes?
Well, in the type of shops there are, and of course, building as well, you know, houses all around. And I mean, in the high street, the Checkers pub was at the top of the hill. Well, that all was demolished and is now Barclays Bank. I mean, Hardy Kings and Turners went, that's now Tesco's, Iceland, which is not the most attractive looking building.
Yeah.
There was a dear little wedge of land up on the top corner of the high street where the clothes repair shop is now, the dear little garden there, a little oasis of green, and they decided they wanted to fill all that in and put a shop in there. And of course, where Pound Stretchers is now, that was all demolished. It was, I think, at one stage it was the Star supermarket. Oh, and that's brought back another memory, the Maldon pageant.
Okay.
Which was held, I can't remember when it was now, but they had all this pageant through the high street celebrating the Battle of Maldon and what have you, and floats and various things. And I've got the programme for that at home still. But going back to the carnival, I mean, they used to have really lovely bands. They used to have about four or five different bands in the carnival procession. It was a big thing. Quite well known in the area.
Mm-hmm. Did Maldon Pageant end up at Beely?
I can't remember. I know the parade was through the high street. I've got a feeling they came up the hill.
Right.
Yeah, and then, of course, the Queen's visit.
And when was
1971.
That?
1971. It was the day after my 21st birthday. And she visited the quay. She went down onto the prom and had a wander around there, and then she went up to St Peter's Hospital, and then to the Moot Hall, and Cyril Dowsett was the mayor. He escorted her, and it was a beautiful day, and she wore primrose yellow.
And of course she's been back since, hasn't she?
Yes, the first visit was to mark the octocentenary of the town, 1171 to 1971.
Mm.
Right, just one other little feature about Maldon, as it's such an old-fashioned town. We were about the last, one of the last places in the country, I think, to lose our gas street lighting, which wasn't the best of things. They were very high, the street lights, and quite widely spaced. So they didn't do a fantastic job. But the old gasometers were down at the bottom end of the high street, between the high street and Victoria Road. And there was a scare, I think, years ago. One of the gasometers went down very low, and I'm not sure whether they evacuated people or they cordoned it off or whatever, but it was in the local paper as quite a big feature. And then, of course, we've had our smuggling episode on the front page of the one of the Nationals years ago, where they were smuggling stuff in down at Fullbridge. So that was that. Now, just a few other places have come to mind in the high street that I've thought of. There was Spindles in Church Walk, with the house beyond where Maisie and Albert Woodward lived. And they were, in fact, Albert and Maisie, I should say, were Mayor and Mayoress of Maldon. And they got married whilst they were in office, and that hit the national headlines, I think. It was quite a thing at the time. And Maisie was a real character and loved a laugh, great sense of humour. Their little shop was called Spindles, and it sold arts and crafts materials. And directly behind that was Poole's Press, which were printers. And George Scott from Butt Lane was the manager there and looked after things there. And then just moving round the corner into Silver Street, there is the Bell, which I think the sign is still outside, which was a sort of small hotel bed and breakfast. And further along, opposite to Maldon Court School, was the British Legion Club on the corner there. They had a hall on the ground floor and a bar above, and a kitchen, obviously. And I used to be a member of the British Legion. I used to help in the bar there. And Friday nights, they had a social evening with darts and cards and whatever. And whist and snooker, I think. And then at Christmas time, or just after Christmas, they used to have a children's party with an entertainer from Chelmsford, a chap called Eric, used to come and entertain the little dears. And I remember standing at the back of the hall with everybody, all the adults, doing the laughing policeman. And that was on the Sunday afternoon. The Saturday evening previous, they had a social, and he used to come and organise the social event as well. And they used to have entertainers come from London and put on a little show on this. They had a stage there as well. So that was something different. And then in the summer, they had a fete down on the prom with various side stalls and things. And they used to have this little menagerie that came in a wagon. They used to open the back, and they've got all these animals and pets and various things inside that you could go and have a look. Whilst we're on the subject of clubs, there was, of course, the Constitutional Club, which was in the High Street, just up from Boots the Chemist. And that then moved round into where the dentist is now, at the back, facing the library, and now in its current position over by McCarthy and Stones. So that's moved around a few times. And next to the Constitutional Club in the High Street was Spurgeon's, the estate agents, which was run by Eric Paxton. I think that just about sums most of the other things up, except perhaps just to mention about the drama groups that were in Maldon. There was the Blackwater Players and the All Saints Drama Guild, which used to produce plays, I think, twice a year at various venues. And the Blackwater Players used to come and make their scenery up and set up their little model of the set and used it for storage in the loft of the garage where I lived in Spittle Road. So we used to get to chat to them and have a bit of prior knowledge about the next production.
That was
number four. Spittle Road. Yes, we had a stable block in the garden, and so that was a bit of fun.
Graham, we're We've started talking about railways, so would you like to record an outing you had?
Yes, we went on a Methodist Church Sunday School outing, and we were going to Walton on the Naze with the Wenlock family, and we hopped on the train down at Maldon East, and Mrs. Wenlock had packed lovely sandwiches for us in an open-top bag which stood inside the carriage. And while we were sitting there waiting for the train to depart, David Bellhouse, who was the station manager, I think, walked along the platform and recognised us. "Ah, hello," he said, and opened the carriage door. "How are you?" With that, the bag overturned and the sandwiches and everything shot out onto the line below. So having offered to shunt the train down the line slightly to retrieve them, I think the offer was declined. But we, needless to say, we managed to get some more food once we got to Walton, and we headed off. So the train used to cross the main road at the bypass roundabout. There was the level crossing up at the top, which obviously the gates were closed if the train was due in or out. And next door to the level crossing, there was a bridge where the road dipped down, and you've got an alternative to go under this metal bridge and carry on up the causeway if you wanted to. And then once you're over the level crossing, the train then passed the signal box on the right-hand side, which I think is somewhere where the pine shop is now, and carried on straight along, and then it would have crossed the roundabout at the bottom end of the bypass, heading towards Langford, to Langford Holt, which was the next stop. And at the bottom of the bypass, on the bottom left-hand corner, is a large pond, which was the actual railway pond where the engines used to take on water years ago. And then carried on through Wickham Bishops and over the trestle bridges and on to Witham, where we met the main line and sailed through to Walton. So a good time was had by all, I think.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Graham. Thank you.
You're welcome.